So once again, me. Now I skip the introduction because I don't want to bother you. Okay, here's the outline. Now, this time, I don't want to talk about the formal specification of that closed control loop. Now I will talk about communication overhead. Because, as I mentioned before, I've been asked, Benjamin, this looks quite very impressive. But what about the computational overhead? What about the communication? Because did you ever compare that approach to others? Because what we have seen is that different types of task control mechanisms. One could be a multiple agent, one could be a multiple control instance. That's what it's all about. We just put focus on communication overhead. Because this might work for a grid with maybe 10 to 100 cores, but what about a grid with thousands of cores? Sure, it works, but the overhead will blow out of proportion at one point. So we need to take care of that. So now I will skip the motivation because it's quite the same. Now I think you know what this is all about. Okay, this is the same. Now, back to you. This is a very, really application example, I guess. So what do we have? This is actually part of my research project. I try to implement a very reliable system on chip. So what do we have? We still have grid, of course, but this time we consider different types of cores, and both domains are analog as well as digital. And now every core is still controlled by one instance of the organic middleware. And for sure, we now need different types of this artificial modes because on the analog side, it's quite different. On the digital side, a home is just a digital message, just implemented by an 8-bit integer, reaching from 0 to 255. And also, what type is this home? It's just a very short bit combination. And on the analog side, what do we have there? Well, we are time continuous. We don't have messages anymore. We have just signals, which are time continuous. So the homes are remodeled as voltage or current based. So the working procedure is the same, but now every home is just realized by a voltage or current. Okay, and this could be. I think it's a very realistic approach. I guess braking system. This is might very low for that powerful system maybe, but just as a first application example. So now before I will proceed with that communication issue related to the overhead, I just give you short numbers what is the communication overhead all about. So I will compare our approach to two further approaches. One is the multi-agent system, which is also called contract net, I guess you all know that. And one is the controller instance. So how does this work approach work? It's quite simple. Well, we have brokers and we have clients, which also perform on the core. This works, we have a broker. The broker starts to initialize an auction, try to allocate tasks. Then the clients send in their offers according to their suitability, health state, load, whatever. Then the broker takes a look at this offer and says, okay, you are the best, you will get the job. And I didn't mention that brokers are quite dynamic objects, which means we could have several brokers in one grid, depending on the redundancy we want to have. And so we have to announce brokers dynamically during runtime. It's not like the right approach where we have centralized controllers. And all of these controllers are quite statically because they cannot migrate to another core, especially. So we have dedicated cores which are dedicated for controllers. And these controllers are not elected dynamically during runtime. So here are quite the main properties of these different approaches. For sure, this one is decentralized. The broker system could be decentralized if we take into account that every core could be a broker. It's not always the case. And on the Sure, a multiple controller approach is always centralized. But we might have several controllers in order to keep the redundancy. Furthermore, principal performer-based, auction-based, leader-based. Very interesting is that this approach is not really self-healing in nature, because you have to consider further health states between the brokers in order to detect whether a broker fails or not. But you can modify that approach, that it supports also self-healing. And for sure, this could be proactive, which means we try not to react after a crash, we just try to prevent crashes. This could also be done by this approach, but also by a multi-action system and also by the prism. Anyway, let's take a look at the communication overhead in simulation. If we offer a bunch of tasks, exactly 30 tasks on a grid of 4 cores, we can say that the overhead in communication within each cycle is about 2,000, almost 3,000 bytes. And this is the overall overhead between the communication for one cycle, including the package overhead. So you might say, okay, 3,000 bytes, that's much, not much for one cycle, but also remember we just have 4 cores. I mean, that's quite, I wouldn't say nonsense, but a bit low profile for me, this one. So if we take a look at the percentage, we can say that the communication overhead reaches 12%, which is not much, but it's also a small bit. And if we take a look at the centralized version, okay, for sure, it is less, because we don't have that communication between, we don't have such type of communication between end to end. We just have 4 controllers, which just communicate with N cores, so this might be a bit lower, with 8.6%, and for sure the agent-based is quite the lowest one, with 8.5. So we can see that, okay, this approach works very well for small grids, but what about if the number of cores increases? And so, the problem is the self-configuration time. It's all about self-configuration time. And this is caused by the fact that in our approach, every PE tries to apply for every task. So that's the end-to-end relationship. And that's a real problem if we consider just an example of 1,000 tasks and 100 PEs. We just have 100,000 components. So bigger values, just bigger values. We don't take into account the suppressors and accelerators. And at least the worst case, self-computation is about 1,000 on both sides. Maybe we cannot improve that one very much, but we can reduce that one if we just do a little bit more investigation about the PDA itself. So the goal is, how can we reduce that this overhead? And one idea I had 1 year ago was to introduce task windows. Well, what is the difference between non-task windows? Well, now we just take not every PE in the grid applies for every task. Instead, it's just applies for a couple of tasks, just a subset. So this is the task window scheme. As you can see, this is the overall number of probable executable tasks on a dedicated core. And now we just take a couple of tasks into a subset, which the PE tries to apply for. And for sure, if we just have that formalism that NW just describes the subset cardinality, how much tasks are covered by the window itself, and P just the number of possible executable tasks on dedicated core, and ME is the number of the cardinality of the subset covered by the initial task windows. And so we can introduce 3 different types of that window variance, which just a variable offset, which means, okay, there is also a first task in the task window, which has an index. We must know that index in order to allocate it or to try to allocate it. And furthermore, how can we calculate that offset? Well, it can be calculated statically before the first moment cycle starts. This leads to a dynamic offset, and I will show you why this is a fact. And furthermore, there is also an approach which tries to replenish this task window always after it runs empty. So, what about the improvement of such task window scheme? Well, if we consider that MP is much greater than the size of the task window itself, we can say that we at least have MI divided by MW assignments, which MI is just, as I mentioned, the subset of tasks which are covered by all of the task windows. And so we can finally reduce the communication by a factor of MP divided by MP. So this is quite a lot. If we consider the example before with 100 PDs type of tasks. So this is the first window variant, just as a sum to bring it quite more easy to you. What do we have? Well, if MP is just 5 in this example, well, we have for sure task window with size 2, and the offset is 2. So on the constant task window, which means, okay, this offset is calculated dynamically during every cycle. So we need to know all the possible tasks which can be executed, which might be a high computational effort. The better one is the variable task window scheme, which just says, okay, let's compute these offsets before the first cycle starts. And now this leads to a dynamic offset, because why? At the beginning we had 5 tasks, and if the offset is quite 2, then the first index would be 2, then 3, then 5. So if AE starts to allocate task 2, this offset is quite the same, so the next one it will try to forward with T3 and T4 and so on. And this is quite the duration of the self-configuration time of that variable task window approach. And it looks quite complex, but if I have to give a boundary of this equation, it's for sure less than m cycles. It must be. It cannot be worse than m cycles, because that's the upper boundary. What's the quality of that? And we can, later I will give a validation of all these different task window schemes, and it's quite interesting. It depends really on how to select the task window size, as well as the number of the initial covered tasks, which is MI, which is right. So the other approach was trying out, which looks quite more simple, but it's also the same. It's also less than M cycles. Now we replenish these task windows only when it runs empty, which tries which reduces the computational effort in moving this task window during the operation. And the last one is quite a hybrid solution between trying out and task offset, which is just the same, which, okay, we just replenish the window after that's empty, and also we just calculate these offsets statically before the first and one cycle. So now what's the behavior? Okay, if we assume that the overall number of tasks M is greater and equal than these initial covered tasks, as well as greater as the window task, we can say that, okay, self-configuration is quite lower than the worst case time. So it's on one hand, it could improve the self-configuration time, but it doesn't make it worse if it's in the worst case scenario. Okay, validation, that's the most interesting, the most important message of that presentation. Now, if you take a look at the 3 different variants, this was quite with no offset, which just means static offset. Now we consider that the task window is quite the same as the initial covered tasks. Second is quite, we have 8 tasks, and the initial cover tasks are 32 with drying out scheme. The next one is 8 tasks and 64 tasks with constant offset, and the last one is quite simple. We also consider that the size of the task window, as well as the number of initial cover tasks, is quite 2. And it's very interesting, if you take a look at the runtime of the set configuration, you can see that the third approach, I don't take into account with no task units, just as a comparison. So we can see that at least we can finish self-configuration according to the no task window, at least after, what is it, maybe 18 cycles, which is quite very fast, according to the non-task window, which just finishes after the almost 3.1 seconds. But this is all about the communication overhead. So we can see that this is the reduction according to the scheme without task windows. So we can see if we use, if we use task windows, we always reduce the overhead. And the best one here is, it's just those one. So if you can see that at least you have to choose the task windows not too small, and the number of initial cover tasks must be greater than half of the overall possible execution, but almost half, I can say. And if you take a look at the reduction factor, it's quite huge. This was the approach without task window, which we have 15,000 gigabytes sent in the overall approach for a dedicated time. And you can see that our modified approaches with the task window just requires less than 10 bytes. That's good, reducing, I guess. So, but what about this quality? Because for sure, if you use such task windows, you don't look at all of the possible tasks, but this can also lead to not to the optimal task allocation scheme. So, but if you can see, this is the optimal quality of the best task allocation, and you can see all of the task windows seems closely reach that level, not the same, but close. And it really depends how you select this size of task windows and the number of the initial cover tasks. And if you take, if you just have a 100% overlap between all task windows, so this approach might lead to a higher number of mode cycles until it finishes, but it leads to a better quality of the task assignment scheme. So the right diagram just shows the measured and theoretical worst case scenario. And it's quite good. So this does make sense to put quite huge effort in it. So conclusion, what we still try to do is to get more realistic numbers in terms of a real prototype implementation. And now that's the current state, I just implemented an FPGA-related solution which just considers the digital side of the system on chip, because it's very hard to find good prototyping analog hardware. We still have FPAAs, but they're not very sufficient for my purpose. So I'm just quite related to the digital side. But of course, we need to take, we have to do more investigation in real application examples, just as the making experience system I mentioned. And furthermore, we need more validation in real application. I just mentioned real-time boundaries, and we can give boundaries for certain properties. But what about if this runs in real hardware design? We have to take more computing system into account. There are also no communication between the components, so this is not really taken into account yet. So we might get in trouble in there, I guess. But let's see how far we come with this solution. Okay? Questions?
Thank you. Almost back to schedule, but this is not really back to schedule. So, what is other questions?
The problem you studied, if I got it correctly, was that you had very large numbers of tasks, like these 1,000 tasks.
Yes,
and that you needed this window approach.
Yes.
But is that really a problem in real systems, that you have 1,000 tasks, which all of a sudden are there, which have to be scheduled, that you usually have just an online incoming task, which wasn't a task, which have to be assigned and scheduled, but you don't have this large number of tasks.
Okay, now we have chips with maybe 10 times, but if development does progress in that manner we have now, I think it's quite realistic that we have more than 100 cores on a chip, and then we could get a problem with that approach. We don't deal with the communication overhead with task windows and so on. So I think it's maybe at the moment it doesn't make really sense yet, because you say, okay, I mean, 1,000 cores, that's pretty unrealistic yet, but maybe we have this one day in computer systems. But even if we have less number of course, this could also make sense, because if you I already showed that the communication overhead in centralized is always lower than decentralized, and maybe people say, okay, why are you using this approach? I mean, okay, it's also less in communication for a small grid of cores and a small number of tasks, but what's the real effort? And we use this home-based technique also to improve dependability. And we could also show that the dependability is quite better than in centralized as well as in multiple agent scheme when the redundancy level is greater than 20%. So if you have more than 20% redundancy, actually this approach pays off. So, but also, I mean the overhead in communication is quite huge. I mean 12%, that's a lot. And this is also a lot of communication overhead. But I wouldn't use that approach just for reliability. I also consider computation overhead, communication overhead, and to keep this this approach comparable to all the others, approaches. We need to take care of our communication, because that's the very first question I always ask in every presentation. Yeah, it looks good, but with that decentralized manner, you will have problem in communication. Yeah, you have many hormones in the system, which have to be sent to all the others, to all the other PDs. And what about that overhead? If you don't take care about it, it will blow out of proportion, even for a small number of tasks, not a small number of tasks. Not exactly what they wanted to hear, yes.
In terms of comparison to other approaches,
yes.
Have you implemented these
yes,
other
approaches? Yes, we implemented these three types, but
okay.
It's quite hard to implement that design in VHDL, because I got the numbers of all the real implementation designs, and so I had to implement a very low version of that multiple agent system, but I also implemented it, yeah, both of the different things.
And you, because for real evaluation, it's interesting to know what the communication overhead is, but what counts is what is the quality of the task distribution.
Yes.
On the other hand, what is the effort in terms of hardware, of additional code you need, this middleware is something. Those are the two cornerstones, and somehow you have to measure that.
Yes.
Can you give me a comparison which one I should take before
if you focus on dependability, I would choose that approach for sure. Because if you take a look at the overhead in chip consumption, then it's quite, as I mentioned, if you take more than 20% redundancy on the chip, this pays off. If it is less than 20%, one of those is much better. So this is about dependability, but if you put focus on task quality, that's a good question. So I didn't investigate the task quality upon three different schemes. Well, I would say it's quite comparable, depending on the application field.
That's one question with respect to this. Comparison there. So what puzzles me is that you say for multiple controllers, the centralized system, it is self-healing. What kind of fault model do you have there?
Well, we just consider the system failure of the controllers. which means...
But if the controller fails, yes. then how can it be solved?
Well, we have to have that we...
centralized system.
Yes, we consider, of course, the signal wasn't a hashing, it was a lifeline signal between the controllers. So controllers then exchange lifelines between each other. So if the lifeline signal stops from one, then the controller listens, so another one takes over.
But you have one microcontroller, you have a centralized system.
You need at least one, for sure. But if this one fails, the whole system crashes. So yes. You want to... You don't
want to be self-heating.
Yes, okay, I have... You are truly right, and I should say you need more controllers. You have, at least you need two to have all the elements. Sure, absolutely. So this is quite... This approach implements self-heating if I have more than one controller. We also, for conversion, we also consider multiple instances of controllers and brokers. They must have. Otherwise, we wouldn't compare those to that so much.
Yes.
Because here, the task control mechanism is performed on any core. So if one fails, it doesn't crash the system at all. At least there's one core in the grid. So in order to make this comparable to all the others, they need multiple controllers as well as multiple brokers. So.
Maybe one last question. Yeah.
A quick observation, and I find this very intriguing for providing a decentralized control mechanism that may scale. My observation is, I wonder if we could take this one step further in mimicking biology. The various cells in the human body do not directly communicate with each other, but instead communicate through a shared medium with diffusion. I wonder if exploring the diffusion method of sending the hormone through a larger system might alleviate the M by N cost you pay with their communication.
That's true, for sure. But we didn't try to implement the whole biology. We didn't try to model that completely. We just extracted this type of decentralized control and organization.
Get this part done
first. Yes, exactly.
But the diffusion then would probably mean that you have these regions, and these regions might be out of balance, and so it takes some time until it's stabilized. So this would be interesting to investigate.
Yes.
Okay, I think we have to conclude the discussion. Thank you very much for the tour.